Governor Brown, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
You've often said that Proposition 30 will fix California's budget. And so if Proposition 30 passes, will California have a budget deficit next year?
Not as long as I'm governor. We're going to have a budget balance. Our credit rating is starting to improve after 15 years of one gimmick and accounting maneuver after another. It's been difficult, but we've made billions and billions of dollars in cuts. We have virtually eliminated the structural deficit. But even still, with the tax measure, we'll have to exercise some discipline in the coming year.
So there may still need to be some budget cuts, even if Prop 30 passes?
No, if Prop 30 passes, the big thing is we get money for the colleges, we get money for the community colleges, and we get money for the schools. And we also have realignment adequately funded. So it's really important. But when you ask about the budget as though it's some fixed steel structure, that isn't the nature of the beast. We have a lot of needs, and we have a lot of desires. We have only a fixed amount of money. And it's my job as governor, almost like a governor on a machine or an engine, I have to keep it from running off the track or speeding up too much. So you asked budget balance. That's a continuing duty of what we do here in state government. But we'll sure be a lot better off with Prop 30 as opposed to not having it.
And following up on that point, if Prop 30 does fail, there's talk that maybe Democrats and unions and other interests would want to try to do something about the trigger cuts. So if a bill lands on your desk that reverses the trigger cuts, will you sign it or will you veto it?
No, I will veto any bill that attempts to undo the trigger cuts. We have to balance our budget. And I know that's tough medicine, but over time, the state gets so deep in debt, it's what I call the wall of debt. And under my predecessor, it got to $30 billion. Well, that doesn't make any sense. We have to set aside reserves. We have to prepare for the future. So the cuts to the schools, to the colleges, that's baked into the budget. And if yes on 30 passes, those cuts don't happen. If the no people prevail, then we get the cuts. And that's why probably some of the biggest spenders are people who don't have kids in school or who don't even live in California.
When you're out on the campaign trail and in the Yes on 30 campaign's TV ads, there's a lot of talk that the money goes to schools. The LAO says, the Legislative Analyst Office says, the money goes to the general fund, or at least that the money raised by the tax measure may go to schools, but it would free up other money in the general fund. So when you say the money goes to schools, is that accurate?
Absolutely accurate. The law puts the money in a special fund, a fund that will be audited, that will be transparent, made available to the public. And more importantly, the absolute certitude is that without Proposition 30, $6 billion of cuts to colleges and schools. There is no doubt about that. So you have a lot of quibbles by some people. But I can tell you, I'm the governor. I wrote this initiative. I signed the budget into law. Proposition 30 is needed for our schools, and that's where the money's going.
Let's move on to some other policy topics. And the pension bill you signed last month saves an estimated, $60 billion or so?
Yeah.
Over a couple of decades. Some estimates put the unfunded liability of the pension system far higher than that, $200 million, $500 billion. So how do you make up the rest of that?
Well, first of all, we're talking about a 30 or 40-year time horizon for the payout of a pension and also for the earnings on the investments that are owned and controlled by the pension system. We've taken dramatic moves. The pension system now is less generous than it was during the governorship of Ronald Reagan. That's gone back a long way. So we've made major strides. We're not finished, and I will be very vigilant about finding opportunities to align our pensions with the expected rate of returns going forward.
So like what? How will you do that?
Well, just like we always do. You have bills that are introduced. You evaluate the rate of return. But remember, we're recovering from the worst recession since the 30s. And we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. People have worked hard. They've earned their pensions. And I respect that. But I do think people can work to an older age. I'm 74. I'm still working. I intend to spend many more years at the job. So we have raised the age. I believe all the employees have to contribute their fair share. And in addition to that, we want to find if there are any other avenues of saving. Remember, the biggest unfunded liability is at the local level. And local authorities, cities and counties, have to have the spine to negotiate sensible pension reforms.
On cap and trade, California holds its first auction for carbon emissions in the coming month. And a lot of business groups are saying that the auction shouldn't be run. The money is instead a hidden tax, a multi-billion dollar hidden tax. How do you respond to that?
Well, actually, the cap and trade was a business proposal. And it has been designed as an alternative to more prescriptive regulation. It allows businesses to pay a certain amount of money as opposed to putting in more expensive equipment to get at their technology, or to choose, it creates a flexibility. So that's the idea of cap and trade. It is complicated. We are reviewing it even as we speak, because we want to make sure that it works, that nobody cheats, and that the money is used for the best interest of the people of the state.
And speaking of how the money is used, you've brought up the possibility of using some of the money for high-speed rail. A lot of other folks have many other ideas on where the money should go. In your mind, where should the revenue from cap and trade go?
Well, first of all, let's see how much revenue we're talking about. Let's not count our eggs before they're chickens before they're hatched. So we got time enough on that. Just feel confident that I will review this whole question of how much money, where it goes, very carefully in the coming months.
Another big issue right now is the peripheral canal, or rather the underground tunnel in the Delta. When will construction start on that, and how will you pay for it?
Well, the payment will come from the water contractors, the Metropolitan Water District, the Westlands Water District. The goal here is to have a reliable water supply. The levees are made out of dirt. Dirt can fail in an earthquake. If it fails, half the water that Santa Clara County needs won't be there. Major farmers and small farmers will be wiped out. This would not be a good thing. In fact, it would be a catastrophe. So that's the logic. But environmental studies have to be completed. There are many federal permits that are required. And we're on track, but we're not ready to pull the plug yet.
For what? On track to start when?
No, we're on track to complete the process of environmental studies. When the environmental impact report is all ready, then the Water Board will review it. And then after they certify the environmental report as completely adequate, then a decision will be made. And then we have to get all these federal permits. And I think we're talking in the next year, year and a half.
All right. Moving on to a healthcare question. California is well on its way to implementing Obamacare, as even the president calls it these days. If Mitt Romney is elected president and the federal subsidies don't show up, what does California do?
Well, that's a big if, and I don't like to answer hypothetical questions. Just put it this way. We can't add another 3 million people to our Medi-Cal system without federal funding. That's clear. So I'm hoping President Obama wins. I'm doing everything I can to make sure that happens. If it doesn't, you come back and interview me, and I'll tell you what we're going to do.
What do you make of the race right now?
I'd say it's close. I think Obama did very well in the last debate. I think he's closer to the American people. I know I filed my income tax recently, and I paid well more than double than Romney. So something's wrong here when guys make millions and they pay less than their secretary. So based on all that, I think the Democrats have a good chance to prevail.
Moving from some policy issues to some political issues, you've invested a lot of your political capital and personal capital in Proposition 30. You've really been out there, really from the start of your governorship this time around, saying this type of new revenue is needed. And so I'm curious what message you would take away if voters say no, as polls suggest it's kind of up in the air right now.
Well, I'm going to wait till the message is delivered, and that's Election Day. So sometime around 11 o'clock, if you can track me down, I'll tell you Well, A, we'll know what the message is, and B, I can then give you my reaction. From everything I've seen, we have a very good chance of having the yes side win on Proposition 30. The stakes are very high, and I think as people go into the booth, voting booth, or fill out their absentee ballot, all they have to say is, look, have our schools taken enough cuts yet? Well, we have 30,000 fewer teachers. We have the lowest number of counselors of any school district in the country, any state in the country. We've cut back thousands of classes at community colleges. The University of California says they're going to raise tuition $2,400 in January if Proposition 30 doesn't pass. So we know what's at stake. And then when we look to the tax side, it's just pretty simple. If you buy a $4 sandwich, could you pay another penny? Because that's what we're talking about, a quarter of a cent. And then if you make $500,000, well, you have to make more than that because that's zero income tax. But let's suppose you make $510,000. Well, then you'd have to pay maybe a 1% on that extra money you make. And if you make $1 million, you'd have to pay 3% on everything over that. And I have not met one person who, when I said, would you want to pay 3% more on your income tax if you made $1 million this year? And I found no one who would say, oh, no, I'd rather not have earned $1 million if I got to pay 3%. So I think from how the money is spent and where the money comes from by way of taxes, Proposition 30 will have a strong majority support in California.
Let me very briefly take you through a couple of the arguments against Prop 30. From the anti-tax groups, a big argument is California should
By the way, do we know who these anti-tax groups are?
Howard Jarvis.
Well, that's one, but there's these shadowy figures that have come across the border from Arizona, and we're trying to find out who they are, but so far they've eluded our search.
It's a group that gave $11 million to Yes on 32 and No on 30.
Yes, yes. So I just mentioned that whenever you say the opponents to 30, most of the time they lurk in the shadows, and rarely do they come out and expose their ideas to the light of day.
So the folks that are exposing their arguments to the light of day, for example, Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, been around for a while, their main argument is,
By the way, it's really a mail order operation. They put out mail, they make some money, and I don't think they actually represent Howard Jarvis. I knew Howard Jarvis. He supported my reelection in 1978, and he was concerned about property taxes, but he was also concerned about schools, and I think that people really ought to think who's on what side and what financial interests are they representing.
The argument generally against Prop 30 from some of those groups is you should reprioritize the budget. Instead of putting several hundred million dollars into, say, high-speed rail bond service next year, you should put it into education instead.
Well, the budget is big. I mean, this is a big state. We're bigger than every country on planet Earth except eight other countries. So when you think of California, it's not millions, it's billions. And the costs of education are well in excess of $50 billion. That's the load. Proposition 30 is going to add to that, and it will be very helpful. As far as other things I'm doing in water, energy, high-speed rail, local transportation, we have to keep funding those things as well because we're a state of the future. California is a pioneer, whether it's the internet or medical science or putting a vehicle on Mars as Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena did. We're out in the forefront. And so I'm not going to shrink back and say, hey, we better not fix our roads or build trains. No, I'm investing in the future because I know California leads the way and will continue to do so by creative investments and those things that make a lot of sense.
And then Prop 30 has also taken some criticism from the backers of the rival tax measure, Proposition 38, and education advocate Molly Munger has run an ad that specifically criticizes Prop 30 and says that Prop 38 would be a better choice for schools, that it would provide more long-term funding. There's been a lot made of that ad recently criticizing your measure. What's your response?
Well, my response is that since the Prop 38 folks have taken their ad down, that I think that kind of settles the controversy, and I'm not going to add to it.
You don't want to have any more ads coming up against it.
No, I think the 38 people can make their case, and I'm going to make my case for Proposition 30, which I think is better.
And lastly, Governor, I'd just like to ask you if you've given any thought to whether you're going to run again in 2 years.
Yes, I have given some thought to it, but I'm not finished thinking, and I have a couple years to go. So I'll let you know as soon as I do make up my mind.
Is the election a factor that's going into what might make you consider?
There are a lot of factors. Till you ultimately decide, you can't always say what are the key factors. So instead of setting up criteria for deciding, I think I'll just let, you know, reality run its course for a little while.
And now back to the real world. Governor, thank you for your time today.
Okay, thank you.